Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Well, my name is Pastor Jim, and I lead our Thousand Oaks campus, and it's the last Wednesday, so that means I get to be with y'all. So we are so grateful to be back. This is home for us, as many of you already knew. And I want to welcome everybody that is tuning in online from wherever you're watching. Drop us a comment. Let us know. That's always fun to see how many different states are represented in an online broadcast like this. So I hope you guys had a good Christmas. Did you guys have a good Christmas? I heard you guys got a little rowdy here on Saturday. VBF style. You know what I got for Christmas? I got a son-in-law. Can you believe that? My oldest daughter got married yesterday. And so it's a little family. It was a little family gathering. She didn't want a lot of people there. So we just had family, and Pastor Ron officiated it. And I just got to be the dad. And it was awesome. But I don't have any pictures to show you. So if you're on Instagram, you could follow me, all right? PJ Cruz, and it's C-R-E-W-S, all right? But if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to be in chapter 5, and we're going to be probably covering all kinds of different verses as well. But I think that's a great place to land. And do you guys realize that tonight is the last Wednesday night of 2022? Did you guys realize that already? That just feels weird to me. It just feels like it just started, right? So your year may have not started well, but it's going to end well. Come on, somebody. It's going to end well. And starting is easy. Finishing is the tough part. And so we're going to finish strong in 2022. And you guys showed up, and showing up is half the battle. So in my mind, you're already halfway to your victory. Just by you being here tonight, knuckle bump your neighbor and say, I'm so grateful you showed up tonight. And encourage somebody around you. Now, speaking about encouragement, you know, it is Christmas time officially still. Somebody said you're not allowed to take down your decorations until January 5th. Because of the 12 days of Christmas. I don't know. I didn't get that memo. But our Christmas tree's still up. Maybe yours is too. And I started thinking about this last weekend because, you know, Christmas doesn't fall on Sundays, but, you know, what, every 7 years or so? And so we had an in-person gathering in Thousand Oaks on Sunday. And I didn't know who was going to show up, but I just really felt led by God to open up the church. And so when we were there and, you know, everyone started kind of filtering in, I noticed a demographic that stood out to me as the dominant kind of group of people that were there that morning. And they were middle-aged dudes, like guys in their like 40s and 50s by themselves. And I just was curious, and I was talking to one of the guys. He said, Pastor Jim, like, this is such an important thing for us because a lot of these guys in here were bonding this morning because we didn't want to be alone on Christmas morning. And they were, you know, people that had, guys that had been through a divorce and their ex-spouse had the kids, and so they were by themselves on Christmas morning. But they weren't by themselves because they were with their family, the family of God. They were there and they wanted to show up and it was cool. But, you know, I just started thinking about Christmas, and for most of us in this room, Christmas gets us in our feels, right? We get excited. How many of you get excited like when you roll into the store, I don't know, October, it seems like it gets earlier every year. Somewhere around October, you go in and your favorite store has the Christmas aisle up and all the Christmas stuff, and there's something inside of you that just kind of like, you know, just like there's something there, right? You turn across the TV and Hallmark is playing the Christmas movies and you're like, wow. It does, for a lot of people, Christmas is a magical time of joy and happiness, but it's not like that for everybody. And in some cases, Christmas can be the darkest time in people's lives. So I want to address that tonight, because that really got me thinking Sunday morning when I saw these guys. I got to pray with some of them and just got to be with them. It just got me thinking that some of you in this room, this week has not been fun for you. It hasn't been very happy for you. It's created some feelings that are the opposite of what you would deem happy. And I want to speak into that. I really feel like God wants to do something special here tonight. It's the last Wednesday of 2022. So I'm expecting that God is going to do something special for you, especially if you're here tonight and this week has just been such a bummer for you. Things this year, this decade have not worked out the way you thought they were. Christmas morning wasn't what you expected it to be. I'm glad you're here tonight, and I believe God wants to speak directly to you tonight in that space. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to let God do what he does best, and that is work on our hearts. Father, we thank you so much for being here tonight with us. Your presence is here. Lord, I pray that everybody would experience that presence. Lord, no matter what circumstances, no matter what difficulties they may be facing, God, I pray that they would sense and feel your stirring of their hearts, God, and your changing their minds. God, I pray, Father, for them, and I pray, God, for all of us, Lord, as we dive into your word, Lord, that you would show us things we would otherwise never see, God. Give us your eyes. Give us your ears, Lord. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to do that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Okay, so here's what I'm going to start you off with. I'm going to start you off with the verse. This is found in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. If you guys can put that first one up there. Rejoice always. Let me just say this. Some of you that have been like saying, I need to memorize scripture. This is a good one. Right here. Two words. You could do it. Turn to your neighbor right now. Say, rejoice always. All right. You've just memorized a verse. It's a great one. It's tied for the shortest verse in Scripture. The only one that technically is smaller, is shorter, is Luke 11, where it says Jesus wept. But this one's tied. Rejoice always. I love this Scripture because this isn't a suggestion that Paul is writing here. It's a mandate. He's saying this is the posture we ought to take in our lives. We ought to rejoice always. Now, as I think about this idea of rejoicing, it reminds me of that word joy. And, you know, of course, Christmas time, it's in a lot of our Christmas songs that we're all familiar with. And we think about joy a lot. I was in Hobby Lobby the other day, and I was going down their Christmas aisles, and I was looking for something for our church in Thousand Oaks, and I just was like, I wonder what word is the most featured word for Christmas time. And it didn't surprise me, but it was joy. Joy was featured more than peace. It was featured more than hope, and it was even featured more than love. It was joy. I started thinking about that. Wow. You know, it is a big part of Christmas, but not everybody necessarily feels joyful. And then that is what, I want to teach you something that I learned years ago. Happiness is not the same thing as joy. They're two different things. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. You need to understand that. Happiness is dependent on what happens to you, all right? So if I were to Venmo you right now $2,000, you would be happy. You're like, bring it, Jesus. Bring that $2,000. But then when I revoked it and took that $2,000 back, you would be unhappy. Happiness is external. It's based on the circumstances that happen to your life. That's why happiness is so volatile. It's unstable. It's all about emotions. But joy isn't like that. Joy is internal. I like to say it this way. Happiness is an emotion that you feel, but joy is an attitude you choose. It's an attitude. It's different than emotions. And we need to establish this as we look at Scripture, where Paul gives us a mandate to rejoice always. Because he's not saying be happy always, because that's an emotion that you can't just create, right? You just can't just like, okay, I'm going to be happy today. It doesn't work like that. So he's addressing an attitude. And how many of you in 2022 have had the Holy Spirit working on you on the subject of your attitude? All right. A couple of you. I've seen you driving on the 99. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's all your construction, but you guys are, you know, the drivers around Bakersfield, man, they're aggressive. They're like one, you know, cut off from just, I don't know, going, you know, off the rails on you. So I'm just like, I just smile and wave at everybody. I'm just like, I'm going to touch this. But here's what I want to bring us into this idea of attitude. Because I believe that as we follow Christ, one of the biggest benefits that we experience in a relationship with God by following Jesus is an attitude shift. That Jesus has the ability to impact your attitude more than any other probably area of your life. And so when we throw this out to choose joy, what we're asking, or what we're telling you to do, I should say, not asking, what we're telling you to do is to position yourself that no matter what, you are going to rejoice. Independent of the circumstances that you're facing. Even in the difficulties, rejoice. Even in the darkness, rejoice. Even within the trials, rejoice. Even in the tribulations, rejoice. Even in the problems, rejoice. Even in the trouble, rejoice. It's an attitude. Tell your neighbor, it's an attitude. It's an attitude. So we make the choice to rejoice. We make the choice to rejoice. And so as you think about this idea of like, okay, I'm going to rejoice always. I'm going to do it no matter what the situation is. I'm going to choose it. This is so important. Now, this is what I've discovered. And this is going to sound so weird to some of you that have never heard this before. But, you know, our culture tells us, let your emotions guide you. And they don't say it like that. They say it like this, follow your heart. Have you heard that before? AKA Disney. They're good in a lot of things, but this one, I disagree with them. You don't follow your heart. You don't follow your emotions. That culture tells you that. Like if you feel something, just, you know, you got to just go do it because that's just who you are. You know, feelings are real, but they aren't necessarily right. And a lot of times your feelings are going to play tricks on you. And if you always just go after your feelings, you're going to end up with a lot of unnecessary headache and heartache in your life. Feelings play tricks on you. How many of you have ever went to bed just like so excited and so full of happiness in your heart, and you wake up the next morning, nothing's changed, no news has been given to you to pull you out of that space, but you just wake up and emotionally, you're just in a whole different place. You feel depleted, you feel depressed maybe. What's happened?
Your heart's messed up. It's broken. But if every day you woke up, it's like, I'm just going to follow my heart. That's terrible advice. So the Bible tells us a little bit differently. The Bible says, regardless of how you feel, live this way. I like to say it this way. Motion creates emotion. Write that down. Motion creates emotion. So here's how you're designed to work. You're supposed to position yourself in a way that you're supposed to go towards something even when you don't feel like it. And as you're moving towards that and you're not feeling like it, then the emotions, the feelings follow where you're headed. And in a way, it's going to sound weird, but in a way, it is kind of fake it till you make it. It's kind of true. But if you're not feeling something, like for example, you come in here tonight and you're like, I don't want to sing some songs. What is this, like karaoke time? Like, I've never been to church. Like, why do they put the lyrics on the screen? That's so weird. But you can come in here and just like, oh, I'm really mad. You know, I had a fight with a family member and my spouse. And, man, I had it out today at work. And, you know, it's all this, like, anger and all of this feeling. And you come in here and you're just like, What if instead of coming in here just going, I'm going to worship when I feel like, you say, I'm going to worship no matter how I feel. And here's what I will challenge you. I will triple dog dare you without putting the tongue on the pole, all right? To worship God and glorify Him even when you don't feel like it, and the feelings will follow. The glory of God will get a hold of that angry heart and that heart full of stuff that's just been lodged in it. And the glory of God is going to get a hold of you. And the tears are going to be falling. But you got to lead yourself into that position to worship even when you don't feel like it. I'm speaking to somebody's heart tonight. And we're going to end with worship tonight. Are you guys okay with that? I'm going to bring the band back out. I bribed them with some Starbucks cards, and they'd come out anyway. But I want you guys to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what Scripture tells us. And this joy is something we choose because it's an attitude. And here's what Paul goes on to say in another letter, and I think this is important, in Philippians. He writes this, very similar to what we just read. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. What, church? Rejoice. Now, what I love about this scripture is not only does he say it twice, the context of this, he's writing this in prison. He's incarcerated. So by all means of his circumstances, he was a guy that had every right to say, I don't feel like rejoicing right now. I'm incarcerated. I'm in prison. I don't have freedom. I mean, I was serving God, and then everything went wrong, and now I'm in prison. Like, woe is me. No, he's like, no. He's double downing. He's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'm going to say it because you guys don't believe me. Rejoice. Let me dive into this Greek word here, because it is this word that is pronounced kairo, and this word literally means to be cheerful, full of cheer. Have you ever been to a stadium during a sports game when the team that you're rooting for does something awesome? And the home team especially, you know what? The stadium just erupts, right? I mean, everyone is just yelling and screaming, high-fiving strangers. I mean, everyone's getting their cheer on when the team is doing something good. Everyone is getting their cheer on when you're winning. But this word rejoice, this word kairo, the image is to be full of cheer, to be full of cheer. And it's easy to be full of cheer when your team is winning, but can you still be full of cheer when you are losing? when you're losing? Can you, Cairo, can you be cheerful when the things aren't going the way you want them to go? You know, there's an Old Testament prophet named Habakkuk. And Israel, by all accounts of losing, were losing. Everything was moving against them. They were forsaking God. They were in oppressive times. They had everything going wrong. And what's so interesting is the posture of the prophet, I believe, should speak to all of us right now. It's found in Habakkuk chapter 3. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. This is what I'm talking to you guys tonight about. Some of you feel like there's no fruit in the crops. The barn is empty. The promises are unfulfilled. And you have every right to get frustrated and to be upset and to be impatient. But regardless of how you feel, you rejoice. You rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will make the choice to rejoice. Now, as you think about this, I just want to give you three really simple, practical tips that are going to help you stoke the fire of joy in your life. To stoke that fire of joy. To fire you up. To be that cheerful person. Because here's what I believe. I believe the church should be full of the most cheerful people on the planet. I really do. I believe when you walk into a room, when you are at work tomorrow morning, people ought to be like, wow, I want what that guy had for breakfast. I mean, I really do. If we are living this out correctly, I really believe the church ought to be the most cheerful people on the planet. So let me give you these three just real easy, practical ways you're going to stoke that fire of joy. Because some of you, you came tonight just for this. And the first one's super simple, and that's stay connected with Jesus. Stay connected with them. You know, you're connecting with them tonight, but tomorrow's a new day. You reset overnight. I tell people all the time, just pretend every night when you're sleeping, all of that faith that you've collected, just it's all leaked out. Like all of that presence, it's just all leaked out. And so tomorrow morning, you're on empty. You need to fill yourself back up again. Every day, it's like the tank is full. When you go to bed, you wake up, it's on empty. If you really kind of psych yourself out and believe that, then every morning you're going to be like, I can't leave the house without connecting with him because I got to fill my tank full of Jesus if I'm going to be able to make the choice to rejoice no matter what the situation is happening. So let me give you this, John 15. This is a really important passage of scripture that if you're a follower of Jesus, this one you ought to study. You ought to spend some time looking at this, maybe listening to some podcasts about it. It says, abide in me. That word is, in the Greek language, is to continue to be connected with or to remain. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me or continues to be connected with me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do what, church? You can do nothing. This is what he's saying. So let's jump down to verse 11. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy, there it is, may be in you and that your joy may be what? Made full. Your joy is based on his joy. And you can't get his joy unless you're connected to him. Are you tracking with me? So imagine, he's got this reservoir of joy. And the only way you're going to access that joy is you connect to him. And then that joy that he possesses is going to flow directly into your soul. But if you're not connecting to that reservoir, we cannot be like surprised when it's hard for us to start experiencing the joy that we've been called to experience. Paul writes later, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit of God being in you. He says the fruit of the Spirit is first love, and then guess what? Second, church, it's joy. It's love and then joy, and then peace, patience, and some other great stuff. But I think of, like, wow, David was known as the man after God's own heart. I'm always curious, like, wow, David. I mean, if you look at David, he did some mighty things for God. He slayed the giant, right? He did amazing things. He led the kingdom of Israel. But he also had some major missteps in his life. I mean, he had some dysfunctionalism in his life. And it created some drama. And I just think about David. He's just like, he's a man after God's own heart. Even though he was imperfect, God says, I love David. Why did he love David? Because David was able to connect with God at a level not many people were ever able to do. He was a shepherd. He spent a lot of time with God. And the most important thing on God's list of things he wants you to accomplish for his kingdom is to be with him. That's what he wants more than anything. You guys that are serving the kingdom, you're doing great things in the church. That's awesome. I don't want to take that away in any way, shape, or form. But if you're doing that and forsaking being at the feet of Jesus, then something's wrong. People that are working out there in the kids' ministry but never sit with the Savior and just sit at his feet and soak in the presence of God. And some of you know some of them. And they're busy, like, oh, I wasn't able to make it into service. You go tell them, I'll relieve you. You go in there. You need to sit and soak in the presence of God. That is the number one thing that we need to make sure that we do. So as David is in this position, and he's just messed up, and he's having a bad day. He's having a bad era. He's having a bad season of his life. You thought you had it rough. You thought you had some difficulty. Have you ever had your father-in-law trying to kill you? I haven't, by the way, all right? Pastor Ron's my father-in-law. I don't know if you guys knew that. David was on the run for his life. Later on, Absalom, his son, takes over the kingdom, kicks his dad out of his own kingdom, forms this coup. And David is having to deal with all of that. His son dies through the whole tragedy. I mean, some major stuff going wrong. And check out how David handles this. This is so important for us to see. Psalm 16:11. This is how David responds. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. What brings him joy? What fills him with joy? The presence of God. The presence of God. Some of you that have had stinky attitudes, it's because probably, more than likely, you haven't been connecting with your source of joy, who is Jesus. You know, I think of the times in my life, and I got to watch time, but I think of the times in my life that I have been less than perfect. I know it's hard to imagine, but I've had my moments, even as a dad. I remember a Christmas years ago, we had a puppy in the garage, and we all, you know, had this little thing that we would go out and get the Christmas tree and bring it back and decorate it. And, you know, we stop at Starbucks, we're listening to Christmas songs, hit the tree. But before we left, I told my kids, I said, hey, make sure the puppy's in the kennel in the garage. So, you know, the puppy's safe. And so we leave, and I asked my kids, and the one that was responsible shall remain nameless so he doesn't get embarrassed, but I only have one he, and he didn't shut the gate. So I come home, and we're all happy, and the garage door goes up, right, as I click the remote control, garage door goes up, and the puppy runs out. And I'm like, oh, no. And so I go in there, and puppies can do a lot of damage quickly. We weren't gone that long, but there was mess everywhere. The puppy, I think, got into something and ate something, and it was messy. And man, I could feel the rage and anger from my feet. It was like I was powering up. And then I went here. I can't believe who didn't shut the gate. I can't believe this. Man, this is terrible. Now we're going to go to the vet. And I'm just going off. And my wife just looks at me and we make eye contact. She goes, come here, kids. We're going to go somewhere until daddy returns. And she took off. Because I had my little tantrum. And here I was just sitting in my house, which should have been a Hallmark moment. Now I'm all alone. Oh, Christmas tree, all I want is my family. And they were gone. Rightfully so. They should have left. And so I sat there in the silence of my house, and I had a really stern talk with God. Or I should say, he had a stern talk with me. Because I said, God, I have a temper. And I had a temper before I met Christ. And I felt like it was all gone. But it was just lying dormant for the right opportunity to show itself again. And I'm like, I hate this part of me, God. Just help me. And he says, Jim, it's real simple. You did all these amazing things for me today, but you did the one thing that could have prevented all this from happening to begin with, and that is just sitting with me in my presence. And that day I was so busy, I hadn't done any devotion time. I hadn't listened to any worship music. I just was go, 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 do, 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 be, be, be. And Jesus just stopped me in my tracks and said, the most important thing I could do is be with him. It is such a game changer for our attitudes, church. And I apologized to my family. I called him back, and I'm like, I'm all good now. Coast is clear. Come on home. I apologized to my kids. I hugged them all. We prayed together, and we worked it out. But it can happen to the best of us if we're not careful. So stay connected with Jesus. Number two, write this down. This is give thanks continually. Give thanks continually. This is interesting, and I got to make this quick. But this is interesting. If you keep going beyond the verse you just memorized, rejoice always, it says pray without ceasing, and then it says always giving thanks in everything. That's what it says in verse 18. Always in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. Always giving thanks. Man, gratitude is such an attitude shifter. I'm telling you, this is so good, and it will help you become more joyful and more cheerful if you just stop and just realize that there are all kinds of blessings in your life that you become blind to. Have you heard of the expression being nose blind? Have you heard of that? This is kind of a new trendy like expression. Being nose blind means that you can have an odor in your house, and after a while, your nose gets used to the odor, and you stop noticing the odor and tell another relative who does not live with you, visit you, and they come in, and they're like, hey, how you doing? Whoa, what died in here? And you're like, what? It smells great. It smells like Bath and Body Works, doesn't it? No, the opposite. It smells like something is rotting in your house, and we got to go find it. We've become nose blind if we are familiar with something like for a long period of time, and we become blessing blind the same way. Some of us, we haven't been very grateful lately for things that we've just taken for granted that have always been in our lives. Some of us, it's family. Some of us, it's just God being your provision, always making sure that you had what you needed, making sure you have your house, making sure you have your car, making sure you have your job. Some of you have been blessing blinded just for the sake that God has radically transformed your life. You are no longer addicted to drugs. Now you are set free. You are no longer bound to the spirit of alcoholism. You are no longer in that mode. You are not who you used to be. So we live this way for a period of time and we stop giving thanks. And when you are giving thanks, it's more than just acknowledging this. Every time you are lifting up thanksgiving to God, it is transforming your attitude. You are so much more aware of the goodness of God in your life. And there's so many things to be grateful for. Right now, I just want you to just dig deep in your heart right now and just verbally just speak something out that you are grateful for that is in your life right now. Just speak it out. Yell it out right now. Just yell it out. If you're at home, type it out. There's a lot to be grateful for. There's a lot to be grateful for. Psalm 92, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, Most High, to declare your goodness in the morning and your faithfulness by night." You know, science and research has shown that people that keep a gratitude journal by their nightstand and before they get up, they write out things that they're grateful for, will have a better attitude during the day. And check this out. The ones that write in their gratitude journal before they go to sleep, sleep better and longer. All right? Some of you that have been, you know, having a problem sleeping at night, take some time, be grateful, write it down, keep that gratitude journal. It's helpful. And what we do it at morning and at night. I love when science catches up with scripture. That's all I'm saying. And here's the third thing, and we got to kind of start landing this. And this is the first two, super spiritual. Last one, very practical. And that's put on a smile. You're like, we're in church. It's got to be deeper than that. Like, put on a smile. I'm just saying, some of you, you have a resting bee face, all right? That stands for resting bitter face. The ones that are laughing know that that's really not what it means, all right? But it is this is like an urban dictionary word. The RBF, it's called, is a facial expression which naturally, though unintentionally, looks unfriendly in the resting position. How many of you have that? How many know somebody that has that? But here, the science behind this, when you actually intentionally smile, it shifts your attitude. It's easier to make the choice to rejoice when you're smiling versus when you're frowning. And you just got to know this. Let me give you Dr. Isha Gupta, a neurologist from IGEA Brain and Spine, explains a smile spurs a chemical reaction in the brain, releasing certain hormones, including dopamine and serotonin. Quote, "Dopamine increases our feelings of happiness. Serotonin releases, release is associated with reduced stress. Low levels of serotonin are associated with depression and aggression," says Dr. Gupta. "Low levels of dopamine are also associated with depression. Smiling not only offers a mood boost, but helps our bodies release cortisol and endorphins that provide numerous health benefits, including reduced blood pressure, increased endurance, reduced pain, reduced stress, and strengthens your whole immune system." Just by smiling. Let's just pause a moment and let's learn from Buddy the Elf. I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite. Look at your neighbor right now with the biggest grin you can and say, "Smiling's my favorite." And just hold that grin. Some of you that have never grinned before, it may look creepy. You may feel awkward, but keep it on your face. It's good for you. Do you know that one British study even found that one smile generates the same level of brain stimulation as up to 2,000 bars of chocolate? Some of you, you're like, "I ate too much chocolate, but man, it feels good when I eat it." Here's how you can eat and experience that chocolate without the calories. Just smile some more. I love this. And the other part of smiling is it's contagious to other people. When you smile, other people are more prone to smile back at you. This is where cheerfulness becomes contagious. But I love what Proverbs 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. This is so good, church. So we're connecting with Jesus. We're giving thanks always. We're putting on a smile. Why? Because we have a heavenly mandate in Scripture to rejoice always. And I hope these three practical things are just going to stoke that fire of joy in you. And as the worship team comes back out, I want to help you, because even in the difficulty and in the darkness and in the trouble and all the things that you may be going through, it's just really difficult for you to like, I don't think I have much to rejoice about, Pastor. You do. That's the good news. Because as you look at Scripture, we have so much to rejoice about that is outside the difficulties that we're facing. Church, I want you to listen to this. Let me give you some reasons that we are to rejoice tonight. The cross has canceled out our sin, and we have been forgiven and cleansed of our unrighteousness so that we can stand before a holy and perfect God. We can rejoice that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now possesses us. That is a game changer, making you and making me more than conquerors. We can rejoice always, church, because even though we're unfaithful, we serve a God that is forever faithful, and nothing can separate us from His love, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from that love. Church, get on your feet. We can rejoice always that we serve a God that declares to us that He works all things together for the good to those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. So if it's not good yet, guess what? He's not done yet. But there's more. We can rejoice always that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. That means if God has a calling in your life, no matter what you do, no matter what you've done, that calling is still on you. That purpose is still in you, and God is calling that out for 2023. We can rejoice always, church, that this is the day that the Lord has made. And you may have not started 2022 strong, but we are going to end it strong. I know it's in you. You can cheer for the Dodgers. You can cheer for the Lakers. But can you cheer? Can you get your cheer on for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has changed your life? Let's give Him a shout of praise. Let's give Him a shout of cheer. You can do better. Lift your voice. Let's worship.
song. Let's sing. It's your breath. It's your breath in all us. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in all us. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in all us. So we pour.
Father, we thank you so much. We are so grateful, God. We are so grateful, God. Lord, you are worthy of our cheer. You are worthy of our applause. You are worthy of our praise, God. And Lord, we are a work in progress. We are not done yet. But God, your word proclaims that you are faithful to complete the work that you started. And we choose to rejoice in that, that we are not finished yet and we are just getting started. And that, God, we rejoice always because, God, you are the God that makes all things new. Thank you for making us new. Thank you for giving us new beginnings. God, we are so grateful, not for a new year, but we are grateful that you are a God that makes all things new. And Lord, newness tonight, God, I declare and I pray over every person that is here, every person online. God, I pray for a fresh wind of newness to come over their life in Jesus' name, that they end the year strong, positioned and ready to receive all of the things, God, that you have promised to bring into their life, God. I pray that for each and every person. Lord, if somebody here tonight, God, I just sense there's a woman over here somewhere that God has been calling you, and there's been a hesitation in your spirit to step into that calling. I want to pray a release of heaven, of a bold spirit over you that would cause you to embrace that calling and embrace that purpose and run towards it instead of running away from it. I don't know who that's for, but a woman over here, I saw a picture before I came in here tonight. And maybe that's for a couple of you in the section. But Father, we release tonight in your love. And God, if anybody here, Lord, is far from you, they do not know you as their Savior, as their Lord, I pray tonight they would make that decision and give their life to you so that you could change them in the same way that you've changed me and so many others in this room. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Can you give it up for God? Can you bring your cheer to him? Hey, and we have an amazing prayer team that's up front. Maybe you're just like, hey, in this season I'm in, I just need a little extra prayer. Hey, this is what we're up here for. And maybe you're ready to make that decision to follow Jesus. You get up here and say, man, I'm ready to do that. These guys will pray for you, give you a Bible, and connect you on some next steps for your faith. But would you just give a knuckle bump to a neighbor, smile at them, and say, smiling's my favorite, and so is Jesus, and leave in peace. All right, love you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.